Hello, this is William Fink, and this is the Christogenia European Fellowship Forum. It is Thursday, December 2nd, 2010. And this year's just about over already. It just started yesterday, okay. I swear. It seems like that to me. Hello, hello, Barbary Man. Hello, Sussex Man, Dorcas, Taya. How are we doing today?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening. Good afternoon.
Good evening. Yeah, good afternoon.
Yeah. It's still morning here for me, I swear. How are we doing? Yeah. What's going on?
Well,
one thing I need to do is I need to get a grip on, if anybody has a source, I would appreciate it in an email or something, for all these people arrested or imprisoned, like Sylvia Stoltz and Paul Eric Blanro in Europe. Is there a website that covers that that tracks these people? It's incredible how many people are in Europe, are in prison for expressing concerns about this Holocaust story, right?
And it is never mentioned in the news.
I know, it's terrible. I'm looking at this article from Paul Eric Blanro against the Gay So Act in France for Vincent Ray Noard, who's a father of like 6 or 8 children, and they have him in prison now, right?
Yes, yeah.
Questioning something that didn't exist. It's incredible.
Yeah.
We could question, the Jews can question Christ, right? But we can't question their Holocaust.
Yeah. And Zundel's attorney, his defense attorney, who ended up in, she's still in prison, isn't she? Apparently the truth was no defense. She wasn't allowed to present the truth.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And all she did was try to do her job as a defense attorney, as we see it in America, right? A defense attorney can say what they want in defense of their client, and in a free and open society, you never have to worry. But it just proves that we're all under tyrannies.
That's right. And the fact that all this is never reported in the mainstream media means that most people are totally unaware of it. And when you try and mention it to them, you get that glazed look as though to say, well, she's a bit OTT, you know, a bit over the top. They don't believe it.
Yeah, right. It's incredible. If they're in prison, the government must have a reason for putting them there. If they're in prison, the government must know what they're talking about.
Mostly.
I got an email from America about this German officer witnessed the Russians were building mock gas chambers in Auschwitz, and he's just published it. He's been arrested.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gotten his name.
Well, I have something really interesting. That this is from the Washington Post. Website, right? This is a mainstream newspaper, right? It's a mainstream liberal American newspaper. It's one of the biggest newspapers in the country, the Washington Post, right? It's been run by Jews since 1933, when Eugene Meyer bought it at a fire sale during the Depression, and Catherine Meyer Graham, his half Jewish daughter, had inherited it. And in an article, troops buck historical trend by saying gays are okay, right? They supposedly took this poll here in America, and 70% of our troops basically think that it's okay to let homosexuals in the military. Now, it's very possible that the entire poll result is a sham, right? Because I have a brother in the military, and I have a son in the military, and they both confess that not 99% of the guys they know in the military are totally against it, right?
Yeah.
And my brother's in the Navy. He's been in the Navy 28 years, and my son's been a Marine for 6. And they're both, they both balk at this poll as straight crap. You know, they say it's all a lie. It's a total lie.
Yeah.
But in this Washington Post article, and that I have online, I have a picture of the article. I'm going to post it, I hope, one day this week.
Yeah.
It talks about how in 1947, American troops were resisting the integration, right, of the armed forces with Negroes, right? And most American troops were against integration. But there's a very revealing statement in here, because it also says that most American troops returning from Europe in, after World War II also didn't believe that the Jews had suffered under Germany.
Wow.
They didn't believe in the Holocaust. And they had to squeeze that into an article about homosexuals in the military. They had to squeeze something about the Holocaust in because they squeeze it in wherever they can. But this is a very, very telling statement. And I can't wait to get it online.
Yeah.
The Washington Post admits that most American troops returning from Europe in 1947 did not believe in the Holocaust. And that's I'm going to have that on the Mein Kampf site soon. It's just we find these little glimpses, but when we question these things, we end up in prison, or at least in America we're not in prison yet, right? But we are excoriated from society and labeled as right-wing nutjobs.
But you are having some of your websites closed down. That's what I was reading in the press.
But, well, I don't know where or why or for what.
Oh, right.
So what press was that in?
Yeah.
I saw the headline in the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. I didn't read the article because I'm not into reading all that sort of what I always think is propaganda. But that was just the headline that they were, you know, closing down some of the websites in America.
But for what reason?
Didn't mention Bill in particular.
I've no idea. It was just people who were speaking out against the government, and they didn't like it.
Well, Chris DeGelia doesn't speak out against the government, right?
No, I know. I know.
But there's no reason to speak out against the government.
Was it the Wikipedia articles that are being printed where people?
No, I don't think. No. I don't think it was Dorcas. I haven't quite sussed out in my mind the role of that Wikipedia leaks guy.
I don't know what
everybody else thinks.
I haven't read an account of it. I just heard the main story, but I only have one paper a week, and that's on Sunday. So I haven't read about it. It sounds pretty grim, doesn't it? And I believe there was an article, a friend rang me today, there was an article about him trying to muddy him, you know, telling what an awful life he's had, and he's moved about 35 times in 15 years, and two other men with him there. They have gone abroad and left him. So that is what she told me. But it all looks pretty grim to me that he's been able to hack in and get all this information. 21,000 bits of information. I mean, it's going to do a lot of harm to America.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, if America was actually doing this, surely exposing it is a good thing. Was America behind the exposure in the first place? I haven't quite worked it out.
Exactly. I think that maybe that source is heavily compromised, and it's a dummy source set up by the government. That's my personal opinion.
That is my feeling, but you know that's all I can go on.
Well, time will tell, but that's what I believe. I think it's not damaging to America at all. The CIA is doing and the Mossad are doing the publication.
Yeah.
And this is the way they operate anyway, so what are they trying to do, let us down gently or something? I don't know.
Right, exactly. anyway, I have good news. Christagania.org is it's just... It should be in the top 100,000 websites in the world. It's damn close to it. It's for the last 30 days, actually for about the last 45, it has been in the top 100,000 websites in the world. But the number that counts is the last 3 months, and it's 100,541 in the 3-month ranking. So it's real close to the top 100,000 websites in the world, and I hope to break it real soon.
Well, at this point,
it's incredible.
Yeah,
it's worth it.
Yeah.
Now, as an aside, as for further news, I also have now a 24/7 streaming audio radio station set up on Chris DeGinney.
Yeah, yeah, I saw it.
It's listed in the Shoutcast public radio directories as a station under Christogenia Internet Radio under educational, where I thought it probably... I thought that was better than putting it under religious, right? Because none of the religious people are ever going to like it. That's the way it is. None of them are going to. All of the Fruit Loop evangelicals over here in the States, they're going to hate Christianity, right? So I figured I'd list it under educational.
Why not?
I hope this month to be able to expand that to a second station on my second server on and that would be Christogenos Internet Radio from Christogenos.net, and which is the server that this TeamSpeak server actually runs on also. That there's plenty of unutilized capability on this server to run a radio station also. And I hope to go each station with two channels at least. So I hope to accomplish that in December.
Is that to put your articles on it? I mean, how will that function then?
It actually streams programs. It actually streams programs around the clock. I stream here also. If you go down to that Christogenia streaming audio channel, I stream from my server into TeamSpeak. I'm streaming on it right now. And if you go to Christogenia.org, at the top there's a new link called Radio and Chat, and there's a chat room built into Christogenia.org, which also is integrated with a radio player that you could sit and chat and listen to the streaming audio there. There's a player on that channel, on that chat page.
Wow.
There's a chat room with a built-in radio player on that page on my main website on Christogenia. Now, there's a the link to the streaming audio. Most Windows Media Player, VLC, the VLC Media Player, the Winamp Media Player, the iTunes Media Player, they all play a stream off the Internet. Right? So if you go to your media player and put this link in, it's Christogenia.org/8000/live. That's not for your web browser. That's for your media player, and that'll pick up the Christogenia radio stream. Ooh. And you can do it from your iPod. You can pick it up on your iPod or go to Shoutcast and search their radio station directory and find it. I'm hoping that it just attracts more people, right? And right now, this station, this channel is only, it's going to play all the 2C line, the 94 Christogenos programs I've done with Eli so far, and plus I'll add new ones every month, and it will, it's just going to play them in a loop. It's about maybe 150 hours.
Oh,
that it's going to loop.
Yeah, 150 hours.
Wow,
that's a lot.
You're very enterprising.
Radio station, Bill, is it? That's got the castle on it. Got your new seed line on.
Well, that's Ground Crew Radio. That's a site that I've actually been employed to build for somebody, his direction is kind of, his compass is spinning at times, right? And that's just the way it is. And I've sort of loaned him some Christogenia content. He's especially interested in the 2C line stuff. So it's, I'm going to be honest, I don't know if it's a good idea to work for somebody that I'm also loaning content to, but, I do what I can, right?
So it was on Eli's site, the link, and it seems very much like the Alsook Dutch radio thing that Eli...
Yeah, right. He likes that, Argusug, and it's the site's going to expand, and it's going to have different content on it. But it might draw people in from from the wider conspiracy world and some of the New Age people, because he's got some New Age stuff on there and stuff that I certainly don't agree with, in total, right? But some of it's all right, and it might draw other people into to 2C Wine and to Christogenia, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I think it's good to ask your net widely.
Yeah, he's new to the message, and he's coming from a direction that the rest of us probably haven't come from, right? he came through all this New Age stuff, and he's waiting for the Biru, you know, Zechariah Sitchin and all that garbage, and I can't agree at all with Zechariah Sitchin. But I think that he understands that I disagree with a lot of this content. But he's learning about 2C Line and he's accepting it, and I can't tell him no, right? I mean, it might help pull more people over to what we believe to be true. That's the way I look at it. Yeah. And get them aware of the problem with the enemies of our God that we have in this world.
Yeah.
But which is foremost above all is to try to make people aware of that. So it might work. Ground Crew Radio might work. I mean, he's trying to make a go of it, right?
Good.
At least he's been fairly amenable to Eli's idea when he's videoing him.
I'm sorry, to Eli's idea of what?
I think he was being distalked to some, was it Waterman? Interviewing Eli about the 2C Line.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't had the opportunity to listen to any of that.
Amenable to saying.
Yeah, that's good. I never spoke to the Waterman fellow, and I really don't know where he stands. I don't have time to go listening to other people's content. You know, all my time is eaten up trying to produce my own and make a living, right? And build Christogenia, which that's where my primary efforts go into building Christogenia. It took me two solid days just to get the radio set up on my server, and I got to do all the tech work myself, so that takes time.
Yeah, I would say so.
You know, all these big budget places, they just hire a bunch of Linux geeks and tell them what they want, right? I got to go do it myself, so. Everything you see at Christogenia is produced myself.
Best there is.
So, oh, I hope to be able to keep the trend up. That's all. Do the best I can to keep the trend up. I put an interesting video I found at YouTube on the Mein Kampf site this week. Actually, Sword Brethren found it with me. It's Hitler explaining his reasons for invading Soviet Russia. I have a text of a speech from Calvin University that accompanies this, and I'm going to try to post tonight.
Oh.
I'll post the speech right with the video, so that'll make that more authentic, right? It's on the front page of the Mein Kampf site. Hitler explains his reasons for invading Soviet Russia.
I'm just looking now.
Oh, right. You're setting the trend.
Yeah. I've got it, yeah. Right, okay.
Okay.
There was a good YouTube video I came across today. It's Albert Burgess on treason and Marlborough, which down in England, and he goes into laws and the church, and showing how, you know, they'd done joining the common market was illegal.
I'm sorry, Chris, you're cutting out periodically . Well, try to talk a little louder and directly into your microphone.
Oh, right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, can you hear me? Stays on. No, you're gone.
Right, I'm back again. No.
Yeah, okay, here you are.
It was a video by an ex-policeman, Albert Burgess.
Yeah.
Tired, and it's titled Treason, and about how, you know, according to the laws of England, he goes into great detail how we got the
trapped in
Alfred and showing how it's illegal what they're joining the common market, and he's actually getting people to file complaints at various police stations. The government had committed treason.
Well, that was 40 years ago, right? Or 50, maybe? I mean, the common market was what? In the 1960s, 70s?
70s.
70s. Yeah, it was in the 70s.
72, wasn't it?
Even.
But his point is, because it was illegal, it makes it null and void.
I believe that's correct.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's why that's the difference between living under a republic form of government or the constitutional monarchy that was formed after the time of Cromwell or living under a tyranny, right? I mean, look at how much stuff is done in America that's blatantly illegal, that's blatantly in violation of our rights, in violation of the Constitution. Obama's a damn illegal immigrant, and he's serving as the president.
That's right. Constitutional validity.
Because we're under a tyranny, and the people are too stupid to open their eyes to it, it's going to continue.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. You know, Thomas Jefferson said that the people, that government rules at the consent of the governed. And that's the truth. Mm-hmm. And as long as the governed keep consenting to this treachery, we're going to continue to have it. I mean, Yahweh said the kingdom would be handed over to the beast. He meant it. He wasn't kidding.
Yeah.
The beast can do whatever the hell it wants.
Yeah. That's certainly sure.
We can hate it. We don't have to like it. We can hate it. But I don't. Yeah, you know, it might be a great idea to protest the Great Britain joining the common market, but I don't think those people are going to have anything coming in their complaints because the tyrants don't care. They'll find some reason to dismiss those complaints. They'll never hit the media, or if they do, it'll just be a glimmer here and there. It'll never get play in prime time on the BBC or on whatever your most popular radio and television stations are.
Yeah.
Channel 1 or whatever they call it, I forget. That's the way it is. They're never going to interrupt Monday Night Football with breaking news that Obama's an illegal alien, right? It's not going to happen.
That's certainly.
And if they did, people would get mad that they interrupted Monday Night Football.
That's right.
They wouldn't give a damn about Obama. They'd be cursing about their football game.
That is right. Yeah. Understandable. Clear.
So I also come across some interesting information. It was I don't even come across them yet. Documents from the BIWF, their old ones.
Oh.
And it was a report on their, by the secretary, on their move from 6 Buckingham Gate, you know, which was Buckingham Palace and.
Right,
out of London, and the secretary shouldn't move. But in that report, it mentioned that they had gone to Buckingham Gate from Fetter Lane in the city. So I immediately thought, got that from, that's in the bankers' district. They probably were in the hock to the bankers.
Yeah, who knows?
Do you think they bought the building? They wanted that building opposite Buckingham Palace because it was in such a prime position.
Well, they did have, because the king had granted them the lease, they did have the option of renewing it, but they decided not to.
Chris, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're so faint I can hardly hear.
Well, I don't know why that is.
Well, Chris, let's try turning the... Let's try turning the sensitivity down up on your microphone, right? Click on settings and click on options and choose capture from the left-hand side of the list and move that slide bar 5 points to the right. And let's start with that. And that'll make your microphone a little more sensitive. Hopefully there won't be feedback because of that, but maybe your words will stop dropping out, right?
That's right.
I know it's hard speaking the Queen's English not to drop some words here and there. No, I'm kidding.
But I think it's interesting what I don't know.
Can
what
you hear me
about.
Now?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yes, but we'd like to hear Judith, too.
Well,
I moved it to the right. It didn't pick me up at all, so I moved it to the left, and now it's.
Yeah, you know something? I may have given you the wrong direction. Right, that's an American for you.
I just wonder if you should move it a bit more to the left, because you still sound a little bit distant to me. I don't know about what everybody else is receiving.
How is that? You can't still hear me.
I can hear, but it's very faint. It's not as clear as Dorcas or Bavaria.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll move it up again.
Well, you can adjust an individual's volume too, Judith. You could click on Chris's name and click change volume and turn his volume up.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll see plus and minus decibels on the right-hand side, right? And turn him up a little.
Yes.
Right. My problem was that his microphone wasn't picking him up. But you can change volume on individuals here.
Oh, right. I've done it now.
Oh, so, is that any better?
Yes, it is for me.
Yes, I'm fine. I can hear you very clearly.
Well, Judith, do you still have that thought?
Sorry?
Do you still have that thought?
Yes. I've always been fascinated by the idea that the king at that time could walk across the road from Buckingham Palace to 6 Buckingham Gate, go into the BIWF... office, if you like, take some books across the road and read them. And, you know, it wasn't unknown for him to do this. And I thought that that was amazing that that should, you know, they were so close. It must have been divine providence.
Yeah, right, especially since now Prince Charles gets most of his books from B'nai B'rith, right?
Yeah.
And from the ADL.
Yeah.
It's obvious to me, anyway, that that's where he gets his reading material from, because that's what comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
But
he's a different bloodline, isn't he?
I believe so. He has to be. A totally different spirit.
Very interesting thing was that the secretary's report... wasn't sent to the district, you know, the branches, because I had another report, the same thing, whipped together from the northwest branch, and they were complaining that the report about the move was signed by an executive officer, and they were saying, why has the secretary become an executive officer? So obviously, the hidden hand in the BIWF didn't like the secretary's report, so they thought they'd send their own report, you know, making a good case for moving from 6 Buckingham Gate.
That's strange,
But, well, yes, it is. And it must have been divine providence, but it sure as heck didn't last.
Unfortunately.
And it was put in such an obscure place after it moved from there. They tacked it away. It was very hard to get to. I mean,
well,
there.
From what I understand, that the then treasurer, who was probably behind the move, lived in Putney. That's where they went to. And he he couldn't park his car in London, so that's why he thought he'd get it moved down there.
Oh, I see. Dear, oh dear. Yes. George the VI was very, very interested. He was a very big in the Boy Scouts movement and anything to enhance youth, the culture of this country. And he would be interested in BI. I mean, in Buckingham Palace, they know all their history. They've got the charts going right back to Adam. And it's just a pity that the young royals... they seem to have bypassed all that. Charles is interested. Someone said to me today how we're integrating with the French And she brought up the fact that Charles might be given a position where Charlemagne once ruled, and he might be a prime object for that position. But it's just interesting, you know, what's going to happen in the future.
Well, Charles is basically an atheist. He's an earth worshiper. He's into Gaia. And he's probably, if he ever gets coronated, it's probably going to be one of the most disgusting events we've ever witnessed.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
In his favor, he's very good. He runs everything to... he's into the environment and farming. He does very good quality farming.
Well, maybe he should become part of the soil, right? That'd do us all a favor.
I'm sorry, I got in on this late, but is this about the royal marriage or whatever it's supposed to take place?
Oh, we weren't even. We've been talking about all sorts of different subjects. Danny, how you doing?
Yeah.
I'm doing well. I was wondering about that girl that he's marrying, William's marrying. She's not a blue blood. I thought that she had to be a blue blood for her in order to marry her.
All that went out the window with the Mountbattens, right? That about finished that. They've been marrying commoners ever since.
Right.
Right.
Danny, the present queen is the last of the house of Judah, if you like, to sit on the royal throne. Her progeny are not of that same bloodline.
Right.
Yeah, I heard. Yes, that's what I heard too. That Charles he's mixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said
Greek blood. Clifton did a very good article on that.
I also heard
you,
or
you
I
want to have a go, Jane.
Do continue, Danny.
Oh, I'm sorry. but I also heard that the Plantagenets or whatever that bloodline back there that they separated, that Edward IV was actually he wasn't blue blood, and that the actual true bloodline is it actually goes down to a guy down in Australia.
Well, he is definitely part of it, yes, because it did separate, so that there is possibility. But of course, it's difficult to know what happened in the past when people didn't have DNA, isn't it? DNA tests.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's funny because he's a forklift driver down there.
Well,
in Australia.
It doesn't qualify him, does it?
No. So there's always one in the background there, but that's why I've always known that.
Well, I always think Yahweh always has a plan B.
Yeah. That Queen Elizabeth was the last of her royals. Of the royals. And, you know, the next one going to take her place, I believe, is Joshua himself. So
this is the best.
There's a guy in Scotland that claims to be an heir to James the First, right? What's the story behind that? I've seen articles about him.
I don't know. I think this bloodline that I'm talking about goes back to Edward III, who was in France fighting a war when the queen got pregnant, and that Edward IV is actually the from then on. The bloodline wasn't pure.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that it was made impure by, say, an Edomite line's a strain coming in.
Right. It could have been one or the other. I'm sorry, Judith.
I'm not saying this very well, but if you've still got that line going through the female, that's quite acceptable.
Yes, yeah.
But it could have been a nobleman that impregnated the queen, too, and a nobleman would most likely have access, right? I mean, one of the other nobles of England, right?
Yeah.
No, it's been a while since I've looked all that stuff up, but I'll have to look that up. But I think he was a commoner. He was a soldier that just that happened to be there at the right time, I guess.
Well, I don't know. A soldier can't even impregnate the queen by accident, right? I mean,
strange accident.
There has to be a little more to the story than that. Just being in a room with her doesn't work, right?
Oh, you know, what happened to Eve? You know, she got maybe it was the spirit. I guess the spirit. But, well, the queen, she had a few years back, some guy snuck up into the Buckingham Palace and she woke up and there he was in a room.
Yes, that's true. In her bedroom. Yes.
He came along the rain pipe, wasn't it? It was something like that.
I believe he jumped up and walked along the building there. I don't know. I haven't seen Buckingham Palace yet, but he got in her room, and when she woke up, there he was. So he didn't do any harm or anything. He just decided he wanted to get up there to go see the queen's room, I guess. I don't know.
But, well, anyway, the present Queen Elizabeth, she's not a direct descendant of Edward III anyway. She's descended from the House of Saxony, isn't she?
Yes, from the German side.
Yeah, Saxe-Coburg-Gotha.
I think her bloodline was, they said it was corrected in 1701. I haven't watched that and got into that in a while, but I think 1701 justified her bloodline again, some way, somehow, I don't know, and that she was the rightful queen to sit on the throne. So,
well, Albert and Victoria were descended from German monarchs. They were
right.
descended
yeah,
from the house of
German. They're
Saxe-Coburg-Gotha.
The Brunswicks.
Well,
that's right.
Victoria's children, they married far and wide, didn't they? It was Queen Mary that stabilised that royal line. She was from Gotha. And it's all brought it all together. I've got a chart here somewhere. Quite interesting.
Yes. Well, George I. George I from Brunswick. His grandmother was a British princess. She was the owner of the throne. And at that time, they were looking for someone. And then they took George I or Georg. That's the one they took.
Right.
Yeah, I have a booklet completely with all these people in here, but I have it downstairs, not here at hand.
But I know that I remember reading there where she had to change. They changed the last name because of the war, the First World War, and
that's
kind
nice.
Of make it a little more British.
Yeah.
Windsor,
yeah.
You know, from.
Yeah.
But they were German. They are
German.
They were German. German blood. So I don't know now. From what I understand, that Princess Diana's bloodline is actually longer in the Isles and goes farther back than the present queen. Her bloodline went farther back. The queen, Princess Diana.
But Elizabeth, the present queen's bloodline goes back at least, well, it goes back to William the Conqueror. And then, of course, it goes back beyond that, right back to King David. So, that's...
No, I'm talking about in the Isles itself. In the Isles itself.
Well, I don't think you can disassociate England, Ireland and Scotland in looking at the pedigree.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They do belong together.
But I'm sure you're right. It goes right back to King David.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a 1934 movie that came out. What was that? The Prince and the Pauper? And watching that movie, when they were going to crown the Pauper. The Pauper.
Oh, I remember that's Henry VIII's son, isn't it?
Well, yes, I believe it was.
Right.
And right before they were going to crown him, they said that this was the bloodline from all the way back to many, many kings, back to King David. And they admitted in that movie. It was the 1934 movie. I saw it over here. I'm in Northern Ireland here. And I saw it over here in the movie, The Prince and the Pauper, 1934 edition. I'd like to get it just to keep it, just to have it on record there. And they admitted it in the movie that that the bloodline went all the way back to King David. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. That's correct.
You know, the bloodline doesn't go to Israel, so.
But well, it's surely interesting anyway.
Sure. Well, Yahweh makes a promise. He usually keeps his promises, so.
Sure. Definitely, he does. Yeah. Chris, what are you doing? Is June there?
June's here.
Ah, good evening, June.
Good evening.
Hello, June.
Hi there.
Hello, Betty. Lovely to hear you.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, is everybody getting a lot of snow over there in England?
We're getting far too much in the south of England.
Yeah.
I'm down here. I can't get home because of the snow up there, and the travelling is very difficult.
Yeah, I heard that Gatwick is closed, and I don't know about Heathrow, but Gatwick, I know,
days.
Is closed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we've had a foot of snow down here, and we're right off the coastline.
Yeah, that's so strange.
I thought we'd have been clear of snow at this area. However,
I'm sure the English all have a favorite pub that they can all go off to somewhere, or they'll find one if they're stuck.
I'm afraid I'm not that English.
Is that what they do in Ireland?
That's what probably. They do in Ireland, yeah. Any excuse over here, you know, and they're especially if you live in these little towns, they're everywhere.
Yeah. They invite you into the back parlour, don't they, in Irish pubs.
Amazing. It's funny over here, you'll see a pub, and then you'll see a, you'll see a pharmacy or something, and then you'll see the carry out, you know, and off license, or you'll see the pub off license. And then a chippy.
Yes.
And then all the way down the road, there's the church or something, or there'll be a pharmacy or something. It's all connected.
Yes.
You sin that night, you take some more booze home to sin, or go to a party. Yeah. And then the next day you're hungover, you got the pharmacy there, and then Sunday you go to church and repent, start it all over again.
I know.
That's what happens today. Yeah.
Yeah, they're funny people here.
We get the impression, yeah.
Another thing too is I noticed the Irish people over here, they don't worry about anything. They don't worry about much.
Yeah.
How has it affected Northern Ireland to the troubles in Southern Ireland? I mean, they're in terrible trouble in the south. How has that affected Northern Ireland, or do they just not associate it with themselves?
Well, they, so far, like I was telling Bill before, you know, we've had a lot of the trouble down there is not only financial, but they're backlashing about all this multicultural thing down there too.
Yes.
They're just flooded. I mentioned there that they put African families in each, because my sister-in-law lives down in Bray, which is just below Dublin, and they put African families in each city. In all the cities of the Republic down there, two or three families right from Africa, and now they have their belly full of it. They're taking all their social services away from them, you know, and they're taking the money out of the mouths of the Irish citizens, and they're rebelling. They're not telling you that on TV, but they change a lot of their tunes down there.
Yes, that's absolutely fallen for all the propaganda from Europe.
Right. Yeah. Yes, they sure
absolutely
have.
Absolutely.
When I first came over here, I ran into a lot of people that told me, you know, how Americans did this to the blacks and we did this to the Indians and we did this and that. I said, have you ever lived around these people? I was raised in Southeast L.A. before I came over here. And it's a little different story, you know, when you have to hurry to get, because you're white, you get beat up. So,
yeah.
Of course, I was kind of lucky, too, because I had an older brother and he had a lot of friends. So we all kind of stuck, you know, you have to kind of like stick in a gang. But we won a few of them. But we eventually had to get out.
When
When
I visited Southern Ireland, my son-in-law came from there, County Wicklow. There used to be big signs up, English go home. So it was, they were all railing against the English. That's only 20 years ago. So now they've got something else now to really worry them.
You see, I saw a lot of those posters up here too, and a lot of the Republican areas. But a lot of stuff has calmed down. I mean, there's more people that get killed in L.A. and New York and Chicago and Detroit and those places, and hundreds of people get killed every month over there. And over here, it's nothing like that. You know, I mean, white women walk the streets here. I don't know about England, but in Northern Ireland here, the white women walk the streets at night. Anytime at night, you'll see girls, maybe a couple girls or one girl coming home from the pub, and nothing happens.
Yeah.
They're not bothering
you
because we don't have the blacks and all that stuff here. So.
No.
Well, that's going to end. That's going to end real quick.
Yeah. According to Barbara Spector, you know, that Jewish that's running that, what is it called, the Piata Club or whatever, the Piata, something like that. I was watching that on YouTube, and how she said that they are going to multiculturalize all of Europe. And it's about time that they became multicultural. And the Jews are in the middle of this. And, of course, the Jews will be persecuted for it. But they are the ones, they admit, that are doing this.
Yep, they do.
Yeah, I had that whore on the front page of Christogenia. She's in a little article called The Effrontery of Judaism on the front page of my website.
That has to be exposed. I mean, you know, the thing about it is in Matthew 13, it talks about how the tares are going to turn red amongst the wheat. And they sure are turning red. And this is great because they're exposing themselves just like they have done. If you've studied their history, these people get so arrogant, see, and then they come out of the closet, and then they start exposing themselves, and then we Aryans will take care of it, see, so.
Right.
I believe the only place they're going to be able to go, maybe if they can get out of America. I don't know if the American people and the Aryan white Christian people find out what's going on. I don't think they're going to be able to get out of anywhere.
It's
difficult to foresee the actual future, how it's going to plan out. Only Yahweh knows that.
Correct.
But when they can't predate on it, then
I was just going to say
when they can't predate on us any longer because we're so you know, we've just nothing else for them to take, then they'll go. I mean, at the moment in Britain, an old age pensioner has a weekly allowance roughly of 100 with £25 extra for his wife, which is something like £6,000 a year from the state. But an illegal immigrant or a refugee, whatever you want to call them, get something nearer £30,000 a year. And for people coming from Africa, you know, that is El Dorado.
Yeah. Imagine.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, it's absurd.
Isaiah 13:14 says, in that day every man will flee to his own land. So there'll be something to scare them. They'll get out of the white countries.
Oh, really?
Well, our coppers will have run dry, won't they? That will scare them.
Yeah. Isaiah, is that?
13. I think from memory, might be wrong, 13, 14.
Yeah, right. It's interesting. I was changing the subject. I was looking in Genesis 4 and Genesis 5, you know, all this talk, you know, about Cain and that. And I was so amazed to see how similar the names of Cain's descendants are. They've got Enoch and to the sons of Adam. How similar they are.
Well, they take our names wherever they go. They've always done it.
So, I see they could have named them after Abel. Adam named. Oh, right. It seems amazing how close they resemble the names.
And they do today. They've taken our names. That there were Jews named Fink, Jews with all the German names and English names you could think of. They have them.
Right. Right. Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
And names like Butterworth. You know, who would think that was a Jew? I don't know.
But they seem to like colors as well, don't they? Like black and green.
But because that was also a German thing, right?
Oh, was it?
Yeah, in the Middle Ages, when people adopted surnames, a lot of the people in German villages took the names of the colors they played on the festivals, village festivals. That's why there's a lot of Germans named green, white, and brown.
Green. Yeah, that's right.
But I was just thinking of a number of Jewish people I know with those sort of surnames.
But usually it's gold. Usually it's gold.
Gold.
Silver.
Yeah.
Now, you're right, but they've taken all our names. There's not. I don't think there are any type of names they haven't taken.
But I heard that... The Jews who fled Spain after the Inquisition, who went to the New World, Mexico, they took on names of plants so they could recognise each other. So probably that's where you get Rosenfeld, etc.
Is Rosenfeld a plant?
Yeah, rose.
Oh, okay. Rose, but...
That's interesting.
Rose of the field. Okay, I didn't know that. I'm a dumb American. What do I know?
Well, I think in Dutch, because, I think he originally came from, you know, Holland. Rose.
Yeah.
Rose and his roses. And felt his field, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I have...
Bavaria man is better qualified to...
It's field rose.
I have 60% of the... I have 60% of the German proofread on the Sensitius project. I did about 4 or 5 pages last night, and I've been proofreading the German, comparing it to the graphics, right? Comparing it to the scanned pages, right? To make sure it's right as good as I can. You got to miss something, right? But it's all scanner errors, like an EI. An IN from an M, right? That's very common, where an M becomes an IN, or where an O with or a U with an umlaut becomes two I's, right? Mistakes like that.
The umlauts.
well, the more German I read, the more I'm convinced that my ancestors came here from the Rhineland in 1836 just to escape the language. How do you pronounce 5 or 6 consecutive consonants? I don't understand it.
Oh.
That is a hunted gazelle. And then the
feet. Well, I think that that video you have, Bill, on your site there, The Eternal Jew, I think everybody should watch that. Because
right, everybody should watch
they
that.
Really look like how they conform to all the societies they move into. It's very interesting, very educational.
Yes, whereas English surnames, it usually took the from what trade the man was doing, like Draper.
Yes.
or a nickname.
Or something like
Yes. Or a nickname that they'd given him, you know. That's how our names were formed.
So, but well, very often it was a place name, wasn't it? I mean, I have a grandfather named, one of my English grandfathers is named Ashworth.
Ashworth.
Right. I know the Italians and the Spanish, they took a lot of their names and stuff from towns and stuff.
Ashworth, yeah. Yeah, that could be.
Oh, yeah, same heard in England.
Yeah, I would say so. That comes from Ashworth. Yeah. I also introduced here in the word ship sailing in German.
I can't imagine how Tia got her last name then if it came after a trade.
Well, who's that?
That's okay. We don't need to repeat it here.
Oh, okay.
Tia Teffy.
You too, Dorcas. What kind of trade is that? Nah, I'm kidding. That's okay. Or Chris, if Chris's last name, if Sussex Man's last name describes his occupation, he must have had a lot of beer. That's all I could say.
Yeah.
It comes from mead. Mead. Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it, to find out the root meanings of these names.
I've found out ours. It's goes up to northern Germany, up by Holland.
Yeah, my maiden name was Rogers. So when I was young, they used to call me Ginger.
Yeah.
Well, it's better than if they called you Jolly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's names have changed, especially a lot of names change. They coming over to America, trying to shorten names. And
yeah,
our name was probably about 15 letters, and we got over and they shortened it down to 9. I guess it's got tired of writing such a long last name.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I have a book. I have a book of the upstairs. It was actually written by a Scotsman, right? And that's weird because the book is actually about the first German settlers in upstate New York, and Queen Anne had given I think it was like 12,000 of these refugees from the 30 Years' War in the Rhineland. Whose towns and villages were all destroyed, that this German pastor went to see and was successful in getting an audience with Queen Anne and asked for land for all these German families in the New World. And they had a choice, like between the Caribbean, and thank God that didn't happen, and upstate New York. I saw my family's. There's one family in that book that has all the same given names that my family has, but my family didn't come here for another 100 years. That this was. These families came over here in 1708 through 1711, I think, and they were all settled in the Mohawk Valley region, which is actually about an hour north of where I live, and a lot of my cousins are descended from them now, but. Because when my family moved up to upstate New York, they intermarried with a lot of East Germans. But.
Sure.
I've seen the name Fink in three or four different forms in that book, and my last name. And I also, one of the most notable changes I saw with German last names was the last name Fuchs. And I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it became Fox. It became Fox, F-O-X, here in America.
Yeah.
And to a great degree.
Yeah, Fuchs.
Mm.
Yeah, the German Fox is the Fuchs. Yeah, that is right.
So a lot of our names were anglicized when we came here.
Yeah.
And all the color names, like brown and green and growing and Veit, like, or that they all became anglicized. But that's how I know that those color names come from. I researched that. They come from the village festivals in medieval Germany. A lot of the villagers had roles that were named after a color, and when they took surnames, they adopted that color as their surname.
Easy.
And that might be the same for a lot of the animal names, too, but I'm not positive.
Who's the name? No wonder.
Looking for the origin of my own name, right?
Chris, what are you doing?
it's Trixie who's jumping over my microphone. Trying to mute me.
Well, it's making a lot of background noise.
I've probably turned it up too high, have I?
Oh, that could be. That could be.
Well, Tia Taffy's got hers up too high.
Yeah.
She needs to turn down my volume.
I think
it's turning down your dog.
Have any of you people been down to see Glastonbury? And what did you think about that?
It's not what it like used to be. It's in the old days you could go to Glastonbury and the Abbey was on view from the sort of main street and you could just walk in there. Now
there's a wall
there. There's a big wall there and you can't see it and you have to pay to go in. Whereas it used to be free. And it's in the old kitchen, they've got sort of Catholic monks, you know, so it's all been given a Catholic sort of veneer. And a lot of the old information is no longer there.
What about that the symbol there that has Jesus and Maria, Jesus, or Jesus?
It's still there.
I think it's written... Wasn't it written in, isn't that Greek it was written in, or no, it was Latin,
I think it was Greek.
It's on the south wall, when you walk through the ladies, Our Lady's Chapel, is it called?
Right, you can see it.
And you walk through there, and you go across the other side, that would be on the south side, I believe, and it's right by there, there's a bench right there, and it's behind the bench.
Right, the bench, right. That's what it is. But it's a Latin, because if it would have been Greek, then Jesus wasn't written there. Then it was Aideus, and is Jesus was written there. That is Latin. A Latin word, a letter figure.
Yes.
Yeah. But I was there in 92, and that wall, that was there in 92, and the entrance was there in 92. So that's pretty long ago.
You must have just gone there about the time it was built, because I was there in the 80s.
Okay.
So I used to take friends there, and it certainly wasn't there then.
Yeah, okay.
I was there in August of 06.
Okay.
It's a beautiful place. That area is a beautiful area.
Very
hill and all that. That was very nice, very calm, peaceful, nice place.
Yeah, I have a lot of signs about it.
And also, all the if you look at it from an aerial view, you can pick out the signs of the zodiac all the way around.
In all the surroundings, there's a huge work, kind of God's handiwork, just on Earth, on the soil, round about of Glastonbury. There's a complete book about it. I must have it here.
And also, there are several others. There's one in West London as well.
There. What is in West London?
From the layout of the roads and everything, you can pick out the zodiac there.
What sign is it?
Well, you can't write all the signs of the zodiac over a huge area covering many miles, but you can only see it, you know, an aerial view, if you carefully study it, you can pick out the signs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I have the book.
And then
here.
Also, a lot of the names in London have names alluding to the zodiac positions.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, do you think Christ was down in that area when he was younger?
Certainly. Was
yes.
He uncle?
Joseph Arimathea.
Yeah.
Also, there's good evidence he was in Scotland, too.
Yeah, it seems.
Yes,
yeah.
I would think so. And because when you look at that, where else would he be? Where else? I mean, they say when it was in India or something like that. I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, he could have traveled with his uncle when he was younger or something. I don't know, but I don't know.
In those days in northern India, it probably would have been Adamites there.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but Scotland is pretty clear that you must have been there. Except that the woman from the Netherlands, they were not so interested in that, the story of Scotland.
Oh, no,
but it was the truth. Yeah. Well, next year
like
we won't have that problem.
You know, there's a possibility of Christ returning to, you know, because it said salvation would come to the tents of Judah first. There's a contingent of Judah in Scotland, and the Stone of Destiny has been moved there.
Yeah, even. Yeah, maybe that was necessary after all.
Edinburgh is called the Athens of the North, and the reason it's called Athens of the North is because the old Athens was modelled on the old Jerusalem. Likewise, you can see the same model in the old part of Edinburgh.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, there's reason why. Yeah, that's correct. Oh, we have other things to see here next year in the conference, because I have so many books of my father that are all concerning these subjects. It's all available here. It's... Maybe it's necessary to spend a few days more to dive in the library. In the last few days I have been working very hard in cleaning out here the library area for the conference. I'm quite well to do. It's successful, after all.
Since we're talking about Scotland... And I've been saving this question for a long time because I keep hoping that Alan Fodla shows up here, and he never seems to. Back last year, he was sending out a lot of pictures of these Celtic crosses, Scottish monuments that he claims support the two sea lion version of Genesis chapter 3, right? And he'd always send them out as mail attachments, and my programs would never open any of them. Did anyone ever actually see these pictures?
Everybody has problems opening Alan's attachments. I think I did.
Yeah.
I think I'd have got them somewhere if I can find where I put them. I'll send them to you, Bill.
The attachments, I never even attached on my emails from him.
Well, he's talked and talked and talked about these monuments. I've never seen a picture. I would love to see the pictures.
Pictures of what, Bill? I'm sorry, I was...
The monuments that Alan Fodla keeps talking about that verify the ancient Chaldee church understood the Genesis 3 story.
And where are these?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. We don't know, because I could never open his email attachments. He sent out email attachments with information about these monuments for a year, and I never opened one of them because I could never open them.
Yeah.
June, we can hear just about every word you say.
Pictures everywhere over here. Glastonbury, you know, I'll have to dig in there and grab my pictures. We bought a new printer the other day, so a fax machine and all that stuff, so I can start getting these pictures out to you. I know I've been telling Bill I'm going to send them over, but we got a new printer now, so.
Well, I looked through that first package you sent me. I just haven't gotten to do anything substantial with it yet, but it looks good. I got to find a copy of that book.
Okay. Well, I have the book here if you want to borrow it.
Which book are we talking about?
Sacy and the Races of Egypt.
Who?
I still have yet to search on Google to see if it might be available on Google. I might be able to download it. I'm going to search right now.
If
I don't do something... Sacy was his name, S-A-Y-C-E, right? He's very often quoted by early British identity writers.
Oh, yes, I'd been pronouncing it differently. Yes, right, okay.
Well, I'm probably mispronouncing it.
Well, I don't know its origins, so...
Here it is, Danny. This book is on Google Books. I'm going to save it as a PDF and see what it looks like. You know, if I don't do something when I think about it, I got so much on my plate that it just flashes by and it's gone, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know you're busy. Yeah, I.
That's
also,
just the way it is.
Did you look in that little booklet I have? There's something else in there for you too.
Yes, I got that. Thank you. That was a big help.
Okay.
But how was it called, CC? And what?
Here, I'm going to put the link to this PDF file in.
Okay.
In the browser. I want to try to extract some of these pictures from this PDF file and get them on
on
Christigenia.
Oh, got it.
My dear goodness. Yeah, books download reason.
A.H. Sace.
Let me see what's happening.
Yeah, it's probably Sace, Judith, but I always pronounce it Sace.
Not found.
You're just making it more complicated than it is, Bill.
What's that? Wasn't found
it's
on the server.
It said it's not found.
Found? Yeah.
Well, I got it.
Google error. Yeah. Request is error. Books download races. Nothing. Strange.
That's it. I mean, that's the link. It came up for Judith. It just doesn't work in Germany.
That is strange.
Well, it doesn't seem to be working for Sussex, however.
It's those three flakes of snow you've had down there. It's changed everything.
Oh, we've had more than three flakes.
Not found.
Oh, it's the Races of the Old Testament is the name of the book. That's very... I remember reading the early identity literature that I did read. This book was very often quoted.
The Races...
Was it Races of the Old Testament?
Yes. Danny has a copy, and he had sent me some pictures out of it, and I had never had a chance to actually see the book, right? But, it's definitely indicated to me that it's worthwhile obtaining. I'm going to try to post this, and I'm going to try to post some of these pictures out of here if I can extract them. I should be able to.
Oh. Okay, even in Papa Cat is having the same problems. Okay, then it's not me only. Okay, see you in 10 minutes. Yeah, okay. Same minute, yeah. Yeah. Oh, 10 minutes are flying by easily enough. But it's a lucky thing that I can use here right now the chat room. But when it's a Sunday, coming Sunday again, I can't come in the chat room anymore. They blocked me out from the Eli show.
Why? They blocked you off?
Yeah. It was 5 to 6 o'clock here. And I was with Bavaria Man on, and it was immediately blocked. I couldn't go anymore in the chat room. Just before that time, from 5 to 6, to 5 to 6, at that time I tried to come in as a guest. In the chat room, no problem. And in the, under my Bavaria name, no problem. And just after 5 to 6, hop, it was over and I was blocked out. And I could do what I wanted anytime, then the image freezes of the computer. It's to be done here. They are squeezing you simply out. They don't want it that I'm having a connection there. I don't like it. I'm paying for it. And I told it even Eli. And he wrote me in an email that he is going to say it to the organizers of the talk show. Maybe they can do something about it. Well, okay, let's see.
Do you think it's sure the it's German government only. that's censoring?
Yeah, they are censoring. Yeah, these outlaws. But I'm going to fight against this because this is really ridiculous. I hate such. And they have no rights to do such. And certainly not without any pre-warning or whatsoever. They simply just block you out, so you can't come in anymore. And it's over the last 4 weeks. It's a horror, such a thing. And if I'm just spreading around here strange things or whatsoever, then even don't know me at all. And I'm the only one in the whole area. There's nobody looking or listening to these talk shows. It's a filthy trick. But I know where I have to go. I can go even up to the government here. That I want to have this changed. Because it's... and I have an opportunity. But then I have to raise at 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturday when they have the other show, Bill and Eli. Maybe in 5 o'clock in the morning it's still free, but I'm going to try it and see what's happening then. For they can do it either by time or that they say just this email address at that time that show we're blocking him in. And that could be done at any time, okay? But we're going to see that. But I hate that.
So I wondered why you went in last
Censored. Yeah. I tried it immediately when I came in. It was all right. And when I saw you, I said, yeah, okay, I can't come in. But the computer is going down at the same time. I hate that.
Now, can you try coming in as a different name?
Tried, but I even changed my my name, etc., and even the password. No, he didn't accept it. That the Bavarian man had burned him. I can retry it under guests, but when I'm getting the guests, you could see what's happening then. Then the guests are blocked. But that was necessary because it was indeed awkward with that number 37, it was, I think, about 35, whatever. What he was saying was blaspheming in a horrible way. But we can't expect such things in today's time. This is bah. I won't think about it, but okay, that's what it is. So when on Sunday I'm not on the talk show, I'm on the chat room, then you know what the reason is. But that happens today's times. It's getting worse from here on. Oh, by the by, I have here a note which I came and got in, and I'm interested to know the truth about this. I can't agree with this. This is very interesting. Here they are saying in an article that our famous good old Job from the Bible, that he was an Arabic sheikh. That he was an Arabian, I don't believe. That's, to me, something so strange that he could be an Arab. Nah. But okay, is there anybody who is able to say something about it? Is there anybody experienced with it that read an article also about it that Job should have been an Arab? Nah, I can't believe it.
Well, he would have to be mixed because that's what Arab means, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And in the most ancient of days, on the word Arab does not exist as a except in the Old Testament where it refers to people that are mixed. Like the mixed multitude that followed the children of Israel out of Egypt. That Hebrew word for mixed, in the term mixed multitude in the Exodus, is actually the word Arab. Okay?
Yeah.
And that just means that with their mix, that's used there as an adjective. It's not used there as a proper name. The word does not exist as a proper name until the Hellenic period. And really until the Roman period. I don't know if it exists in Greek writings that predate the Roman period. Okay, so Job, the book of Job was definitely written before the kingdom period of Israel.
Yeah.
There's no doubt to any Old Testament historiographer, they all agree, as far as I'm concerned, that as far as I know, that it's written at the earliest period. I think it probably even existed before the books of Moses existed.
Yeah.
It's definitely an ancient book, and in those days, the word Arab as a geographical location or as a an ethnographical indicator did not exist. Yeah. So how could he be an Arab? That's just an anachronism. It's a proselepsis, and it's basically a lie.
Yeah, see, there you were. But because I have the idea that Job and the whole story is older than Ishmael. That was before the times of Ishmael.
Well, it very well may be, but Ishmael wasn't an Arab.
No, it was, as they say, the tribal father of the Arabs of today's time.
Well, that's not true. That's what the mainstream religionists say, but it's not true. How can it be true? If the word Arab means mixed, who the hell wants to be the tribal founder of somebody that's mixed? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Why should it be mixed?
Not all mixed people can trace their descent from Ishmael.
And
not all the mixed people of the land that the Romans... I'm sure that the Romans got that word Arabia from the Hebrew word Arabi, which would mean the mixed people. You see what I mean? It had to come to the Romans through the Hebrews, through the Judeans of the 2nd and 1st centuries B.C., that the Romans had to get the word from the Hebrews because it's a Hebrew word. It's also an Aramaic word, right? It's apparent to me that the land was named by the Romans Arabia because that's where all the mixed Canaanite, Moabite, Amorite tribes dwelt. Whatever remnant of Israelites that were there that mixed in with them, the Ishmaelites that were there, that they all those people mixed together, the Edomites, the Ishmaelites, and the Amorites, and all those people. And that's probably why the Hebrews called it Arabia or Arabi, because they were the mixed people. That's a Hebrew word. That's what it would mean. So I think that the Romans probably adopted the term Arabia from that. Now that's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, that makes even then more sense than these sheikhs or the king now in Arabia. He's from Jewish origin. There's a complete article about it, that their origin, their ancestors, they were Jews.
Well, the Jews have been in Arabia. The Jews, as far as the term Jew goes, I could only trace that term from the Edomites of the dispersion of the first, second, third centuries A.D., right? That they were driven out of Palestine by the Romans, right?
Right.
Those Edomites, they had gone into Khazaria in large numbers, but they also went into Arabia in large numbers. And it's from those people that we can trace Muhammad and the scribes that wrote the Quran. They're identified. Muhammad's identified as being at least half Jew by Alzog, who wrote a history of the church. Clifton's quoted him. You can look up Alzog, A-L-Z-O-G, on Clifton's website. You'll come up with the quotation. And by Gibbon, who wrote the rise, the decline and fall of Rome. Gibbon identified. He was very discreet about it. But he identified Muhammad's mother as being a Jewess.
And
there are historical records right in the writings of the Jews themselves. If you go to Heinrich Gretz, the history of the Jewish people, and he was a Jewish historian of the early to mid 19th century, and he identified many Jews in Arabia from the 3rd, 4th, 5th centuries. And he identified many Jewish tribes in the periphery of Muhammad. And I think he might go so far as to admit also that the Quran was written by Jews, which it was.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The Quran was written by Jewish scribes. It's a Jewish book. It's a Jewish religion. It's a Jewish religion to control non-Jews. It's exactly what it is.
That makes sense. It's really making sense.
Islam is a Jewish religion used to control non-Jews. And they've been manipulating these mixed peoples for 1,500 years, and they're fighting against Christianity, the Jews. All this stuff with Israel and Palestine, it's all a sham. It's all a sideshow.
Yeah.
It's all a sideshow. We have to love Arabs over here and hate them over there. That makes no damn sense at all. It's a total sideshow. It's a sham. What we have going on here is the same thing the Jews did to Gothic Spain in the 6th century. It's the same thing that the Jews did to Eastern Europe with the Mongols. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing that the Jews did to Byzantium with the Turks and the Seljuks and the Arabs. And it's the same war of Judaism against Christianity. And they're using the Muslims, and they have us believing that the Jews are our friends and the Muslims are our enemies in Palestine, and that's all a sham. It's all smoke and mirrors. That whole thing is the devil's sideshow. It's a game. It's a damn puppet show. It's like Punch and Judy, if you understand that. Punch and Judy were an American puppet show on TV in the 50s, right? And it's what really matters is that as this puppet show unfolds in Palestine, that for the last 40 years, what we've been admitting millions of Muslims into this country and into Europe, and it's to our own destruction. It's an invasion while we're distracted with what the hell's going on in Palestine.
Yeah, that is right.
It's all a sideshow. Who cares about Palestine? I don't give one whit about what happens in Palestine. Mm-hmm. I couldn't give a damn if a pipe bomb blew up Tel Aviv tomorrow. I care about what's going on in New York.
Yeah.
Or in Berlin or in London.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that is so. Yeah, it's a horrible thing, But by the by, these Ismailites, what were their name, their tribal name?
The only tribe that really has a legitimate claim to be descendants of Ishmael among the Arabs are the Nabataeans.
The Nabataeans?
Right. That's a very ancient name, and the only valid explanation for it is that they are the descendants of Ishmael's son, Nabaioth.
From Nabaioth. Okay.
Okay, who you'll find, Nabioth or something real close to that, right? I forget how to spell it. And he's in the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to find the passage.
That is it. The Nabataeans, okay. Oh, that makes common sense. So again, here I got them.
Okay, you'll find Nabaioth in Genesis 25:13. Nebajoth. Nebajoth. Nebaioth. That would be Nebaioth. And that's, I believe that's where the Nabataean Arabs come from. But they even mixed with Edomites, all right? The Nabataeans mixed with the Edomites for several centuries. Sussex man.
What is he doing?
Well, I don't know, but it's got to stop, right? I mean, it's disruptive.
Then the difficulty is when we are searching now for the descendants of Ishmael or the Nabataeans, where are they now? They must be somewhere identified.
Well, the firstborn of Israel was Nebajoth, and then Kedar was Muslim. Mohammed came from the daughter descended for a Jahamite prince, Kedar, named Mudad. So Kedar is a key player in the Muslim Empire as well, from Ishmael.
Oh, okay.
That's when they had... Kedar was one of those cities that they mixed with the Edomites in. Kedar was a Nabataean city.
Mm.
Okay.
But the only Arab tribe that has a legitimate claim to be descended from Ishmael are the Nabataeans, but they themselves are mixed. They're all Arabs. Ishmael had to be white.
Yeah.
His parents are white. Yeah, Abraham and Hagar were both white.
Yeah, white. Yeah, that's right.
A white Egyptian and a white Hebrew.
And Ishmael had a daughter, Malalath or Bashemath, who married Esau.
Well, yes, and the Edomites and the Ishmaelites mixed together throughout history, is what I'm trying to say. It's very clear throughout the historical record that even in the prophets of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, that the Ishmaelites and the Edomites mixed.
Yeah. See, there you are. That is a big problem. So they are not race pure anymore at all.
Well, they haven't been in 2,000 years at least. Well, I'm sorry. I should say 4,000 years, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's a shame. That's a real shame. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. Oh, yeah, so that article which I have, I can better dump it. For Mr. The Pastor Admiran from the Netherlands. I got it just from the Netherlands in. And I was immediately stumbling over it. What the heck are they saying again here? That can't be right. Okay, I'll see you on Sunday when I have time to read it. And then I gave a command to her in the Netherlands that that story she better forget.
It's all amazing. Right. That's a lot how of
info. That's an info.
There were 12 princes born.
Yeah. Right.
Through Ishmael.
Yeah.
Yeah. The figure 12 is occurring through scripture. Yeah.
Right. Anytime. Time. That's right. During the week, I also had something which was 12. And I said, hey, that's peculiar. That's also in 12. Oh, what was it?
Well, the only ones that are mentioned in Scripture later on are Duma and Tima. They're actually the names of towns in what later became known as Edomia, after the Edomites.
Idumea, yeah.
But it wasn't named Edomia after Dumar, it was named Edomia after Edom.
Okay. Yeah.
The word Edomia comes from Edom. It's just the vowels are changed in Latin. Because we don't get, Edom, E-D-O-M, well, those vowels come to us through English transliterations of Masoretic Hebrew anyway, so it really doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Because originally there were no vowels.
Yeah, okay. That's right. See, there's
incredible history. We haven't had this history given to us in Genesis.
I'm sorry, Betty, you cut out for a second there, I think.
We haven't had this history taught to us in Genesis. It's so important, all this history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get to the truth of things.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, they don't want you to know the history because they want you to believe that it don't matter what race you're from.
Exactly.
If it doesn't matter what race you're from, then only the individual matters, right? The history don't matter anymore.
No.
Yeah.
And that's why the Jews...
As long as the Jews keep their history.
Right, and that's why the Jew wants to take our history away from us.
They're ancient enemy, the white Aryan peoples.
Yeah.
Just like the rabbi said there, 1952, that they were going to get to the point where whites will not be able to marry whites. You know, whites will have to marry the dark races, and they'll extinguish us from the face of the earth, our eternal enemy.
It's amazing how the agenda advances, but when you point out the agenda, you're slandered and blasphemed.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
As soon as you point it out, no one then want to, there he goes again.
Yes.
And it's our own people that are our biggest enemies.
Yes.
A man's enemies will be those of his own household, right?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That's right. Today, when I discovered or I heard that Britain had not managed to secure the FIFA, the football
for 2018?
Oh, the World Cup.
Oh, is that what it is? World Cup, right. Okay. I was absolutely delighted, and I think I was about the only person who was. And I just said to everybody, I said, well, it just means that all the riffraff in the world are not going to come here and stay here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Use that as an excuse. Yeah.
Well, you're just bailing out. You know, you're just making the Rothschild banking system richer. That's all. They're the ones going to make some money off it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly.
So who got it?
Russia.
Oh, Russia got it.
Mm. Oh, let them have it.
I was so relieved.
Yeah. That's
so the
best
desperate
way.
For these things because it's bringing income in. And
the 2018 is a long time ahead, Dorcas, isn't it?
Certainly is for me.
Yeah, you know, this is an amazing quote, and I can't understand its source, right? No man will treat with indifference the principle of race. It is the key of history, and why history is so often so confused is that it has been written by men who were ignorant of this principle and all the knowledge it involves. Language and religion did not make a race. There is only one thing which makes a race, and that is blood. Who said that?
Yeah.
Was it Hitler?
It was Benjamin Disraeli, the Jew.
Yeah, the Jew. Oh. Yeah.
A Jew said that. And if if one Jew could understand that, then we sure as hell should be able to understand it.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's incredible coming from a Jew.
Yeah. I'd like to actually make a note of that, Bill.
Oh, well, it's on the Mein Kampf site.
Oh, is it? Right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it's Dr. F. K. Wiebe in Germany and the Jewish Problem. It opens up the it opens it up. It's the opening lines to the book, right? He quotes from a Jew, the opening lines to the book.
Okay, that's it. Wiebe. Okay. I'll see that.
That's the source. Is Benjamin Disraeli, Earl of Beaconsfield in Endymion, Volume 11, pages 18 and 20. Someday I'd like to read the whole three pages, but see what else he says in there.
Slash Wiebe.
That Barbara Spector says that Jew that's saying about how says here Europe is not going to be a monolithic society that they were once in the last century. The Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mood, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role, that transformation in Europe will not survive.
Well, Angela Merkel doesn't like it. She's
because unless unless somebody's actually pouring different colors into a bucket, then the different colors don't mix, right? And that's the Jew is the one pouring the different colors into the bucket. Of course, without the Jew taking a leading role in integration, it won't survive.
Yeah.
I just can't get over the arrogance. Like, they're just... The arrogance of them now. They're just so
Well, that's why when
they
just
weren't like this a while back.
That's why when I put that video on the front page of Christogeny, right, I entitled it "The Effrontery of Judaism."
Yeah.
That just really got me.
Because
you see it happening. You know, when I came over here in '96, I was telling Bill earlier. I've told him before that I saw the posters. I mean, I never. The first year I was here, I never seen anything like it. But then all of a sudden, I start seeing posters of blacks and white women with blacks and this stuff, you know. And I thought, okay, they're coming here now.
Yeah. All our media, everything that is published where you have to show some aspect of the population always has at least 50-50 on the front of that publication, black and white, and yet the that distribution throughout the population is not 50%. It's just propaganda. But obviously that's what they're aiming at.
And they're after the young little kids now. You know, you notice all the cartoons. Even I noticed the girls, they're little dolls and stuff now. They're not white dolls. They're all tan-colored dolls with light eyes or green eyes and stuff like that. They're after our babies. They're after our grandkids. They're after our children's children, you know. That's who they're after.
Just so disgusting. Makes you feel ill.
Well, I remember living in California there. I remember this, I call him, it was a nigger. He came up, I remember we got in an argument. It was down at work. I used to work in a refinery in Carson. And he come up to me and he was telling me, well, if you all don't like it here, why don't you all go back there to Europe where all your people came from? Well, I came over here to Europe and now I see him walking around the streets here. So, you know, it's just like, oh, you can't get away from him.
Yeah.
I think you should have said he should have gone back to Africa.
Yeah, that's the only right way.
he probably won't last long. He'll probably be shot by one of his own. Probably dead by now anyway, down in Los Angeles, you know. They're vicious. They're so vicious. I try to tell these people over here, you think the troubles were bad over here now. You wait till these people get at least 20% of the population, you're going to really be in trouble.
Yeah. Well, already the major crime is black on white, but it is never, ever reported that way.
Yeah, they're having a lot of problems, I hear, with Muslims over there in England, throughout Britain.
Yeah, well, they're Muslims. They're never black.
You notice that an
they're immigrants or migrating workers. I'm sorry, Betty.
An Asian will never marry a Negro. An Asian will not marry a Negro.
Well, they're forced to. American servicemen, Negro American servicemen, are raping them all the time in Japan and Korea.
Really?
Well, they were raping them in England when in the Second World War.
Yeah. I only know one thing from black and white which is good, and that comes from Scotland. You can drink it. Whiskey.
Yeah, well, it's probably some Jew that owns the company.
Yeah, that's the worst. That's why it has to come from Scotland.
You should be drinking Jägermeister, right?
That's dependent, because Jägermeister, you have to be careful. Mostly it's under Jew control.
Is it?
Not to change the subject, but does Jägermeister actually have deer's blood in it? Or is that just a hunter's tale?
That's got to be just a hunter's tale.
Have you heard that, Bill, before?
No, I haven't drank it since the early 90s, right? I stopped drinking a long time ago.
Hey, you put it in your tea.
But I heard that it has... You do what? Sorry?
Put it in the tea. Just in your tea. That's what they do in Austria. Jägermeister.
All right.
In the tea. And
I only ever drank it straight.
That's best.
I only ever drank it straight.
In the skiing huts, you like to have it because it's cold and that works fine. But the one you're having in your last descent down in the valley is going mostly rather fast and a bit tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember those days I used to ski, snowboard.
Yeah, why not? It's now too expensive to me.
Well, I'll tell you, if it keeps snowing over here, I was just outside, it was like 28. And this is the coldest, the last 2 years now is the coldest I've ever seen over here in Ireland.
In December. I don't know what it is now doing here.
It's I've never seen it. You know, they talk about all this global warming and everything, you know, all the people in L.A. I say, well, come on over here. I'll show you some global warming.
It's now cooling down.
Global freezing.
I wiped off. Yeah, I had to wipe off from the observatory about 10 inches of snow in the afternoon. I wanted to clean out the observatory dome. In the lunchtime, is it okay? Well, half an hour, that will be... It took me 2.5 hours to get all off. And it must... I can't use the observatory.
You don't have any Muslims around here, you can pay them dirt cheap to do it.
I don't want them to see in my garden. I'll do it myself. But it's anyway stand by now, and hopefully in the next days we're getting some good weather. Tomorrow I can forget it. Tomorrow, we have a children party again here in the gymnastic hall. And then they have such a noisy party there. And there was a band playing there or rubbish, and the cars are parking in the meadow right aside my house. They just took a machine in the afternoon to clean out all the snow from the grass field. And then they're going to park these cars there. And that is noisy all the night through. I hate that. But that's for the youth here. The youth must have some time, they say. Well, to my opinion, there's only one way. Get in your bed in time. Sleep.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is what's binding all the youth in the world together. The music.
Yeah. Certainly.
Very clever the way that's all. They all are into the same music.
Well, the problem is they call it music. To me, it's only noise.
Well, it's noise, but it's gathering them all together.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Giving them a common
feeling. Yeah, that's right. They even call it here in Germany a party. I said, what party? It's noise. That's no party.
Yeah. Now that now they got that rap music that can't get it any worse.
Yeah. It's a few years ago that I was in there for some reason, and I looked inside, and I was seeing that they were one of these girls was sitting on these huge loudspeakers. What the heck are you going to sit on that loudspeaker? You're jumping almost off from that thing, from that noise. I said, never in a lifetime I would go to sit on that loudspeaker. Huge, big box. No, I'm better going home. I have nothing to search for there. But they have that machine in front of the door for all these kids to have to come from somewhere, and they don't know where it is. And then they have that... Yeah, it's a kind of truck with a tremendous rotary head on it with all kinds of light beams which are coming out of it, and that is rotating. And then you see all these whiskers of light shining into the clouds and rotating round about, and then they know, oh, it's about there where we have to go by car. Now stop that stupid device, because it's ruining all the sky observations. If it is a nice sky, you can't do anything, because the stupid thing is here a few hundred meters from my house, that's horrible.
Yes, well,
that
takes...
Different times. I say, they are disrupting the... Yeah, and it's interfering also with the aircraft which are passing by, and they must have problems with all that light.
Yes, probably giving them epilepsy at the same time, because those flashing lights are dreadful.
Yeah,
absolutely dreadful.
Yeah. Useless, ridiculous ideas of modern time.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I was in my youth. We didn't have all such. And I don't miss it.
No.
Are you from East Germany or West Germany? Bavarian, that's down south, isn't it?
Right. If you know in Austria, for instance, what's happening? Oh, in Austria, you know Salzburg at the border?
Yes.
Line?
Yes.
Right. And then you're going even further west, and then you're coming into Munich in Bavaria.
Right.
That's the
very
capital.
Good. Oh,
now,
very good.
That takes about an hour car drive from the one place to the other. And just in the middle, there's a little village just over the river Inn, on the side of the Austrians, and that's where I'm living.
I'd like to go to Germany while I'm still here in Ireland. It's so close.
Yeah. Yeah, it's close, but Germany's a long country.
Yes.
It can take It takes me about 7 hours to cross the country to reach the Dutch borderline. And that's by car. I'm fast in that car. We're driving fast over these autobahns, etc. So
yeah. It took the Goths 500 years.
The origin of Bill. And yeah. Yeah, that's right. But if you have a fast car and you're going across the diameter of the country, that takes you 10 hours car drive.
Wow. When is the best month for weather over there in Germany?
Oh, that was in former days, say in May or so, May and June. But that's over. You can't expect it to have good weather. For the last year, it was midsummer. This is 21st of June. And it was 50
right.
degrees centigrade in my bathroom. I said, that's the lowest acceptable temperature for wintertime. And that's now summer. I'm not going to put the central heating on. I refuse. So that
right.
was very cold. And we had a very kind of fine time in September. It was very nice. So if you want to have an acceptable time, it's about September, end of August, September. Then it's not too
right.
hot, and it's not too rainy, and flowers and plants are all still very well up. So that's about mostly the time which is the best you can do. And if
well,
you
can't
want
get
to have
too, can't
deer,
get too hot for me.
To, yeah, okay. Now then you take the yes, the best chance at the end of August. Yeah, in the last 2 weeks of August. Then it's mild, it's good weather. September it can be a bit more colder. And in October, yeah, well, the rain is setting in. And
kinda like
November on, you forget it. So yeah. Yeah, that's right. But it's sometimes the weather is so upside down that you really don't know what's happening. And the last 2 years, we had the months of May and June, rainy, cold, and miserable. Then we said, when is it going to get spring? It's too late. And also for the
right.
plant growing and for the vegetables growing, it's pretty poor. But okay. We know that the weather is totally upside down. And we are going to wonder, how long are we going to have this snow? Is this all we are going to get for the whole season? Or is it just the forerunning of a lot more snow? We never know.
Are you close to any ski resorts there?
It can take me by car about 3/4 of an hour car drive. And then I'm here at the foot of the mountains. And then I can go up to the, what is it? Kampenwand. Yeah, that's the Kampenwand. And that's about up to 1,600 meters. And there you can do skiing very well. Maybe right now. So that would
very
be
good.
Possible. And I'm thinking about going to try it this winter for safety reasons. But I wonder whether my feet are capable of standing in these skiing shoes for a long time in the cold. Because I have problems with my legs and my feet to keep them warm. That's my problem.
Yeah.
But I want to try it. You know. Wait, I have to check. Maybe I'm first going to have a round walk with these big shoes on again and see whether I'm capable of staying an hour or two in the cold outside. If it's too cold, I can't do it anymore. Then the skiing is over. But all right. It is still expensive, so I have to be very careful with that. When you're retired, you don't have that much money anymore.
Yeah. I remember when I first started snow skiing over in California, it was only like $4 all day for a lift ticket.
Yeah, that's right. That's worth it. But that's over. It's now 50 to 60 euros per day.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's too expensive. Yeah, that's dreadful. The prices are racing up. And certainly for those who are coming just for one day, because they know they can't earn very much on them. Mostly they take their own bread and their own food with them, and they say, oh, we don't like to have these people because they're not spending money. They want to see money. Yeah, they are for the sport there, not for money spending. See, that's the problem in today's time. They know exactly how to suck you out. Yeah.
Right.
And then,
yeah.
the other way around, what I can do here locally, it's no problem, and that is that Ski de Fond, huh? that Hawking ski. That's what I
can
do.
Yeah, cross-country.
That's no problem. We have your huge field. Cross-country skiing. That's what I can do here locally. That is possible. Only I can't do it with my alpine skis. That's a bit heavy, all. Then you have to motor and stuff. And maybe they're doing it in the meantime. I didn't check it. But maybe they're doing it at the moment because there's now a lot of snow that they can do it easily. And there are some of these restaurants round about where you can go in and have your refreshments, etc. So that's no problem. So a lot of opportunities here. A good place to live. And when we have the conference here next year in the summertime, in August, then we can see what it is here. I can show only photographs by internet, but if you're here, then it's live show.
Wow. Yeah. When does the Oktoberfest start?
Oh, that's the last week of September and the first week of October. And you never know which week is going to be rainy. This year, the first week was beautiful, was perfect, and they earned a huge amount of money, a huge amount of people were there, and I don't know how many thousands of liters of beer went through in these five tents, which were there, the big, huge tents. And every tent can have about 5,000 or 7,000 people in it. So it's incredible. And then you can get a note on the front side of the tent, because of overcrowdiness, no entrancy anymore. And then you have to wait, and some people are going out, and you may go in. And you have to queue up there. Now, that's too much to me. they still do it. It was now the 200th time, yeah. The last time was the 200th time that they did it. Okay, they like to come in. And a lot of people come from all over the world to have these beer festivities. Okay, they won't. Let's have them. Yeah. I was 20 years ago or so. It was long ago. I don't need to go there. If it is a wine festivity, I'm there. I like to drink wine. I forget the beer. But that's for everybody.
Good, yeah.
Everybody else wants to have something else. Yeah. But there are a lot of good things here in the area, so we don't need to worry. Yeah. Has been kept by the Mexicans. It there was a German who did it there, and the Hofbauhaus, which is in Las Vegas. They have the Hofbauhaus now. And that was done by a German, not by Mexicans, but okay. Or is it only captured by means of all the Mexicans who are coming in for that? That could be. Oh.
Yeah, the Mexicans just pour into those places now.
Okay.
It used to be, when we used to go down to Torrance, California, in Alpine Village with my mom and dad, when I was younger.
Yeah.
It was a lot of German. You'd see German, a lot of German people there. Be German Oompa bands and all that stuff. But the Mexicans pour in there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Oh well, if you come for the second week, the first week in October, then for the festivity here for the beer fest, then it's filled up with Italians, because they are spending the money. The Germans, which they spend their money in Italy, they collecting that money, and then they are coming back over the border with their cars, trucks, and whatever, and then they are going to the beer fest to dump the money back again in Germany. And they have their beer festivity. They like to have it. Yeah. So that's probably for the Mexicans there. Would be. Could be possible.
Bill, do you think...
We can ask
Bill.
That Patricia. Yeah? Go ahead.
No, it's all right. I thought you'd finished.
No, you're starting.
Well, I was just going to ask Billy if he thought that we might be getting on to the Book of Revelation before Christmas, because we're finishing 1 John, I would imagine.
Okay.
And the rest of John.
Well, I expect to finish 1 John and 2 John and 3 John this week. I mean, that's a possibility.
That's what I was thinking.
I haven't prepared for Saturday night's program yet, but I can't imagine... those four chapters needing anywhere as near the treatment that chapters 1, 2, and 3 in 1 John needed, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was just hoping that we'd get into Revelation because I can't wait to get started on that.
Right. 3 John, I mean, 1 John chapter 3 had so much material in it, that so much that I felt needed to be said, that I still don't think I treated it as thoroughly as I wanted to.
It was good, though. It seemed very good. I suppose you can always do a recap at the start of the next episode.
Yeah, well, this first time through the Bible for me, trying to explain my positions and what the Greek says and what I think it all means is probably just a practice run, right? I kind of hope anyway. Yeah,
well, we're all benefiting. I think it's great. I really do. It's so refreshing.
Well, I'm glad you appreciate it. That's all that matters.
But that's on Saturday at what hour?
Friday and Saturday evening our time, Bavaria.
It would be Saturday and Sunday morning your time. I mean...
Sorry. 5 o'clock.
Yes, you're right. Yeah
so I want to check it out, and that must be, to my opinion, about 5 o'clock in our morning.
It's usually so about 1 o'clock, I think.
Let me see. 1 o'clock in the morning?
1 o'clock in the morning. Well, there's a 5-hour difference.
Yeah, that means 6 hours to me.
If
it's New York time.
Yeah, so that would be 2 o'clock for you then, wouldn't it?
That's my 2 o'clock.
Yeah, but even so, you're better listening on a download.
Yeah, sure.
An MP3 download.
That is right. But we have a chat room for them, huh?
Yes, if you want to be up that late.
Yeah, well, that is what I wanted to check. But is it then on TeamSpeak or on the Talk?
It's on TalkShoe, so you could get bumped on.
Uh-huh. Okay, that is interesting. So it's 2 o'clock in the night here, and that's what I want to try. When I'm trying then to come onto the chat room, whether that is still possible then. So I have to do that at 2 o'clock in the night. That is Saturday evening, our Sunday morning. Yeah. I think I'll try that. Okay.
Well, your Sunday morning, you'll get the you'll get the New Testament, the Yahweh's Covenant People program, right?
Yeah.
Sunday morning.
And Saturday morning, you'll get the Jeremiah series we're doing.
That's right.
Mr. Genos.
Then I can do it on Saturday morning as well.
The link's always on the front page of Chris Degenia.
Yeah. And
in fact, you could listen to the program from the front page of Chris Degenia without going to the you could listen to the program live from the front page of Chris Degenia, but without going to the talk show.
Yeah, but the problem is I want to check the talk show for the chat room.
Okay.
Whether they will block me at that time or not. This is the interesting thing.
Why do they block you?
And it is, telling me. That's censoring. They're just censoring me here. This is ridiculous. It's absurd, but they do. I hate that, but I have to check now on another hour, because it could be that they are blanking me out right only at that hour, because I'm always at that hour in the talk show. But the talk show is on other hours as well, and I never will be there on, so I'll try it now, whether that will be... either it's the whole address which they are blocking to me, or only at that hour. That's what I want to check. See, that makes it interesting. And this is at Eli's talk show, I suppose.
Well, the links are on the front page of Chris Degenia, because there's there's a different talk show page for each program, right?
Okay.
It's not the Sunday link. Right. There's a different Friday link, a different Saturday link, a different Sunday link.
Okay. All right. But it is
He sends the links out in his email, too, I think he still does.
Yes, they're always on the front page.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay, I can check that on that. Yeah, okay, I'll do so. Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's a good thing. And that's 2 o'clock in the morning. Right. Okay, I'll try that. Okay, good. And that's a good thing. Oh, on the other hand, I have the Bible open here because I'm triggered by this idea from Eli that the 12 o'clock prayer of our Lord's Prayer, this is very good. But I wanted to check it exactly, word by word, what is now written in the various Bibles about it. And then I stumbled over the peculiarity that Matthew 6, where is he? Here it is. Matthew 6 is saying here that, oh yeah, it's concerning the bread. Give us today our tomorrow's bread. That is what Father Fenton is saying. And that is in Matthew 6. Yeah, that is interesting too. Give us today our tomorrow's bread. And then in Luke, oh, that's Mark. And in Luke, he is going to say 11. And that is also interesting. Let me see where it was so quickly. Luke 11. Remove from our sins, etc. Wait a minute, where's it? Oh, yeah. Give to us every day our tomorrow's bread. So then I wonder, you may use both versions. At least they must be right. What is written in the Greek about that? Is there something to be said about? Or is it the same problem for Bill?
Well, it's actually give us each day our present necessities, right?
Ah, that's not written here.
But which is the exact passage? I'm sorry, because there's several, the Lord's Prayer appears several times in Scripture, right? Are you looking at Matthew?
It's in Matthew and in Lucas. And I have the Father Fenton here.
All right, well, which passage in Matthew, and I'll get them off my translation one at a time, right?
All right. It is saying here at Matthew 6, hold it, to that one, Matthew 6, line, verse... 12.
Matthew 6, verse 12.
Yeah.
And remit for us our debts, as we also have remitted for our debt. Okay, it's 6:11. Give to us our bread sufficient for today. And let me go look at the Greek, right?
Yeah.
But you see, there is a word in there that's difficult to translate into English.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
And that bread is, that word is epiousion, okay? Epiousion is really like, it comes from words that mean upon and being, right? It really means like, give us our bread for to us today as it is necessary, right? And that's what it really means.
That is reasonable. Yeah, that's
okay?
What I would say. That's what I would say. That is reasonable, yeah.
And that's why I have, give to us our bread sufficient for today. Sufficient is a rendering of that word, epiousion, which is kind of like upon what is, upon being, upon, it's a hard word to express in English, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to read the definition of epiousios. Or epiousion from the Liddell and Scott, the abridged Liddell and Scott that I have. It's the intermediate Greek English lexicon based upon, or really abridged from the large 7th edition of Liddell and Scott, right?
Yeah.
But let me find the word. Epiousios. They translate it for the coming day. Sufficient for the day. And it comes from a phrase, hey epiusa, hey mera, the coming day. Or the being day, the day that's about to come, right? That's how they translate it. Epiousios is an idea that's hard to get into English in one word. In that passage and context, I translate it sufficient.
Yeah, sufficient. Yeah. But you have it on Christogenia somewhere written?
Well, my entire translation's on Christogenia, Matthew. It's all free on Christogenia.
Yeah, sure. But I would like to know where. You haven't.
it's the upper right hand menu. It sticks out like a sore thumb right under the search box. It says Christogenia New Testament.
Yep, right there.
There's a whole lot. I mean, I don't. That's.
Okay. I'll find that tomorrow.
You go to Christogenia.org and you go to look at the right hand menu where it says Christogenia New Testament right on the front page in huge letters.
Okay. Right. Then I'm going there. That's right. Okay. That makes it easier. Tomorrow evening I have some time for it, I hope. You never know what's happening. And I'll find that. All right. Make an arrow, so, right. Okay, that's good. Because you find these kind of peculiar tiny differences, even it's not the same translation as in the Companion Bible, it's even another difference. And I checked it with German, makes it an even more difficult thing. And I said, okay, what is it now? What's the reality?
If you look right there in that...
Now I know what I wanted.
If you look down that right-hand column, you'll find the Christogenia New Testament, and then there's the Internet Radio Archives by topic, and then there's the Greek New Testament. The whole text of the NA-27 is right online on Christogenia.
Oh, that's right.
I don't have all the variations in the manuscripts. I mean, that would take a great deal of work, right? But the basic NA-27 text is there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's good.
And I'm putting the Septuagint up, too, the Greek text of the Septuagint. It's going to go up a little at a time. I think I got about 700 pages to go, I think.
Yeah. Certainly.
Put it all on video, Bill. Put it all on video. People want to see video.
Yeah, well, that's true. People don't like to click and they don't like to read, that's for sure. But when I put a podcast on my front page, it gets hundreds of downloads. Well, when I put it on a menu, it doesn't get hardly any, maybe 40, 50, 60.
Well, I'm just now on the download. I see how it is here. Now available, the Christogenia New Testament. That's right. Be seen. Yeah, and Lulu, now I don't need Lulu. Let me see what's happening now. Now loading. The computer is grumbling. So, Christogenia New Testament, that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know how you could miss that. I mean, I know I got a big site with a lot of pages, but... That's kind of conspicuous.
I'm the Lulu Marketplace.
Yeah. Well, you clicked on my book.
Yeah, I see. I see.
I don't know how you found that first.
I don't know. I just clicked on the text. I said, "Oh, okay."
Well, you clicked on the book banner at the top. You didn't look at the right hand side like we told you.
Then I just go back. Okay, let's go back. So now available in Christogenia New Testament. Yeah, all right, now I see it.
That's to buy a copy of my book.
All right, welcome, now I see. Christogenia New Testament on the right side, yeah. A New Testament, yeah, all right. And then, oh, wait a minute. And
that's the full text of the book.
Right, yeah, introduction, the Gospel of Matthew, the Mark, this, yeah, right. All right, yeah, that's okay, that's fitting. And let me see what they say now on the New Testament. Then comes all that. Okie dokie, here it is, the New Testament. So, and I have to run down. Correction, editorial. Yeah. Greek New Testament, right? Store. Matthew, here she is. There's Matthew coming. Let me see. Oh, yeah. An even chapter. Oh, that's good. That makes it easy. Ooh, that works good. Let me see what's coming in. Ah, in Greek! That's good.
Well, you scroll down and click Matthew on under Greek New Testament, right?
Yeah, no, I have it in Greek here. Tof, 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 tof. Yeah, at number 11. All right. Now I know where I can find it. It's in Greek. And now the same in normal English. Where that is.
Excuse me. Bill, when you read the Greek language, is it from right to left?
No, it's from left to right.
Yeah.
Let me say that the earliest Greek inscriptions found, and the pottery, the early pottery, that they wrote right to
right.
left. They wrote right to left.
Right to left, yeah.
But coin Greek inscriptions were later on written left. They were all written left to right.
Hmm. Kind of like, I heard that the Hebrew is written from right to left.
Yeah, but the earliest Hebrew inscriptions are the Phoenician inscriptions, and they're actually, most of them are Boustrephedon. Boustrephedon means as the cow plows the field, right? As the bull plows, basically. As the bull turns.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
But where you write a line left to right, and then the next line down is right to left, and the next line down is left to right. That's Boustrephedon. So when you get your eyes get to the end of the page, they drop a line and read back to the other side, right? You don't have to
right.
Like you don't have to do the typewriter thing. You know?
Yeah.
Right. Interesting.
That's sufficient for today. Yeah.
If you look at certain names as they went from Phoenician into Greek, right? The Athena of Greek. Paganry, if you want to call it that, is actually the Anath of Phoenician culture, of the Hebrew Bible.
It's very interesting.
Take that A and put an A on the end and say it backwards, and you have Athena, basically.
Right, yeah.
And they have all the same attributes. Athena and Anath have all the same attributes when you read about Anath in the inscriptions.
Right, yep. It gets interesting when you get right back to the basics like that, you know, getting back to Greek, early Greek.
Yeah,
I haven't been reading enough lately. I could still read most of the New Testament, but I have to look up the occasional word because I'm getting a little rusty. And I can generally read most of the Gospel and translate it into English on the fly. Probably as fast as most people could read English. And that's how familiar I became with it while I was translating it, right?
Yeah. What dictionaries would you recommend for looking up Greek? I mean, I heard that Strong's isn't, you know...
No, the best one is the Liddell and Scott Dictionary. For anybody that's beginning, I would recommend to get that dictionary I just quoted from. It's the big ninth volume of Liddell and Scott costs about $150, right? And it's 2,000 pages, and I got a copy of that here. I had a copy of that with me in prison. I got it after I started my translating, but it would have probably given me a little more insight if I used that as my basic book. But the one I had, I think, was plenty sufficient, and that's the... A Greek-English lexicon founded upon the 7th edition of Liddell and Scott's Greek-English lexicon. And it's sort of like an abridged version of the 7th edition of Liddell and Scott. And it's probably about $40.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
In an American bookstore.
Is it better to get an older one? The older, the better?
Well, this one is from 1898, right?
Oh, okay.
It hasn't really been tampered with at all. Yeah, you know, it's not edited. It was an abridged version of the Big Liddell and Scott Lexicon published in 1898. I think it was 1898. It may have been like 1895, but I think it was 1898. Now, it has some church definitions in there, but you could always tell. Yeah, you know, it always marks them as New Testament, and you could always pretty much follow the context of the word and understand its meaning. Because I really only care about secular Greek. I mean, that there are no special church words, right? If they don't mean what they meant in secular Greek, then somebody's lying.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Because I have a friend who buys and sells libraries and books and stuff like that. So I'm going to get a hold of him and see if he can come across something like this.
Well, this you could get just in Barnes and Nobles. That's where I got mine. It's still reprinted. It's printed by Oxford University Press, and they still reprint it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've got the abridged. It's Oxford, and I've got the abridged, and it didn't cost that very much.
Right, yeah.
I just remember what I paid for it. I'm looking it up right now, and one place wants $48 for it, another place wants $58, another place wants... Yeah. Amazon.com has a copy for $48 and a copy for $43. Mm. And another place wants $116 for it. They're screwed up. It's as low here at betterworldbooks.com, $28.48. I'd be afraid I'd never get my book, though. Yeah, I would say $40, $50 is probably a fair price to pay for it. Now, the big one, I think I paid $150 for it. I didn't pay for it. My brother bought it for me while I was in prison. That's going to cost a little more.
Okay.
What do we have here? I think I just found an electronic version of it. Oh, no, maybe not. I thought I'd get one. This place is sick.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. So, well, that's a lot of information tonight. I can put that in as well.
Well, Liddell and Scott was the de facto standard in both English and American study of Greek and scholarship for a good 75 years. And only since the 1960s has it fallen out of favor in favor of more modern lexicons, right? But I would not move to those modern lexicons. I would stay with Liddell and Scott. I mean, we haven't learned any, really, a whole lot about Greek the last 50 years, right?
Yeah.
That we didn't know 50 years ago. And I would not trust the more modern lexicons for the fact that I distrust modern scholarship, period. I mean, it's Judaized.
Yeah, it's all Judaized. Definitely.
I think who's I'm going to... It's Sussex, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Chris is he either thought he dialed into phone sex or he fell asleep.
No, I'm not asleep.
You got the whole heavy breathing thing going on there, Chris. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was wondering. Hey, well, it was nice talking to everybody. I gotta get going, dinner time here, so I
okay.
Hope to see you guys and talk to you guys again in a few more days.
Sure.
So
yeah. Take care, Danny. Thanks for stopping and okay, Yahweh bless.
Well, thank you. Thanks for reminding me, blessing. Bill, like always. Okay. All right. Yahweh bless you.
Well, we'll be here back. Later. We'll be back here on the 16th of December.
Yeah. Okay.
16th of December.
I'll be talking to y'all before then. So.
Okay.
Take care. Bye bye.
December. Right.
Did you see the other link I got for that book?
Amazon.com wants yes, we did, Chris, thank you. Amazon.com wants $175 now for the 9th edition of Liddell and Scott. That's inflation, right? I mean, mine was bought about 6 years ago, probably.
Okay. Yeah.
I just looked it up now, and there was some at £25 here. In the UK, yeah. Amazon.co.uk.
Oh, £25 for the abridged version, right?
The abridged, yeah.
I was going to say, if it was £25 for the 9th edition, then that would be the dollar's doing a lot worse than I imagined.
Yeah.
I
deserve
it, so.
Yes. Yeah, £25 is about right. That's almost $50.
Yeah.
American money is cheap because they just won't stop printing it. I think the Chinese are printing it now, too.
Probably. They're printing all.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to end this program. I mean, it seems to me that we might be about talked out, right?
Right.
Well, we had the most important things, I think.
And if you if you want to get lonely and listen to old programs, that there's the radio and chat page now on Christogenia. There's a chat room there. It works, and it might be a good place to hang out if you don't want to come here, right? I'm streaming the old programs into here in that Christogenia streaming audio.
Yeah. Okay. I'll see what's happening while I'm clicking on that one.
Okay. Well, you won't hear anything now until after this program, when I get back.
Yeah,
there, right?
Okay. Right.
Does that mean you can't download it?
The streaming audio?
Yeah.
I sent out the links to download it in an email. It's christogenia.org/8000/live is the URL to connect to it. From not from your browser. Don't go here in your browser, but right. Go here with your audio player, VLC or Winamp, Amarok for Linux will work. VLC is a better program, I think, for Linux because it's simpler, and Winamp or the Windows VLC. Media Player. We'll all connect to that. The Windows Media Player. Use that URL to connect to it. Through the Windows Media Player.
Yeah, Media Player. Yeah.
But then you can only listen to it. You can't save the file.
But, well, you could download all the files off christogenia.org, Chris. My entire, and every program I've done is on.
I thought you meant you weren't doing that now. It'd just be on the streaming.
No, hell no. I'm never going to take down my podcasts.
Oh, right.
No, they'll all be archived on Christogenia for as long as Yahweh permits, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks for coming, and I'll see you all on December 16th, and may Yahweh bless you all.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
well,
thank you.
Doing. Bye.
God bless you.
Cheerio.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good evening.
Thank you.